It is 4 o'clock. And what does this sound mean? It means it's time for Express Yourself here on KDNK, Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. We've got some fun stuff for you this afternoon, but we are doing the membership drive, and we would love your support. KDNK.org or 970-963-0139. We still have folks hanging out, ready to take your call. And we have some really special guests in the studio here who have some experience themselves with doing nonprofit stuff. And yeah, Crystal Theater Alliance, we've got Kate and Will in the house. So you want, what are you on, two, I guess?
I'm on four. I'm on two. Okay. She's on four.
You're on four. Who's on first?
Yep.
And we're going to talk a little bit about Oscars, right?
I think that's the plan.
I guess I'll let you guys kick it off with where there's an event happening on Sunday associated with it, right?
Yeah. We're streaming the Oscars. We feel it's a better thing to do in a communal space. I know a lot of folks have sort of... Its viewership has dropped over the years, and that's because maybe watching it at home isn't as much fun as dressing it up and hanging out with us and chatting during commercials and having some popcorn.
Yeah. And it'll be open to the public. It's at 5 p.m., right?
Correct. Sunday. Yeah, it should run about 5 to 8. We're do the host stream, and when everything's done, we'll be done. And we've got an Oscar pool online for folks who want to participate. Make your bets. See if you can. There is a prize. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about specifics, but. I've convinced Bob to fill out his, so we'll see if folks can beat me, beat Kate, beat Bob. Who's going to be the person who accurately predicts all these things we're going to talk about today?
Yeah. Well, do you guys want to get into what the nominees are? And
well, there's 10 best picture nominees, yeah. And so there's a lot to talk about. Two of them did not show at the theater. Those are both streaming releases that got very limited theatrical runs. That's a whole challenge. We were just chatting with the KDNK folks about that earlier. Apparently you and us are both living in this digital world, trying to bring a curated, community focused approach, as the industries, make that as hard as possible on us. But the other eight all showed here in Carbondale at the Crystal Theater. Sinners way back in spring last year. A lot of folks have asked us, hey, when are you going to bring Sinners? Unfortunately, we done didn't. And gone and out on streaming, and hard for us to bring back as a result. F1 also showed with Bob and Kathy. Sinners, the most nominated film in history. Oscars history.
Wow.
F1 up for Best Picture and Sound, and that's about it. And I think its sound is great, and it's a sound film. Uh-huh. I don't see it taking that top picture.
Yeah.
Most of the real, like most significant Oscar contenders started dropping in the fall.
Uh-huh.
And we got in there with Begonia, we got in there with One Battle After Another. Both of those ran for 2 weeks back in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And were pretty well received by folks that came to see them. Definitely, one thing we hear over and over again, and the rest of the Best Picture nominees are not going to change this conversation, is, man, can we get some happy stuff? And there's not, if there's one thing going for F1, is it's probably the most upbeat movie in the
of the bunch.
We'd love to show more happy stuff. If you can convince Hollywood to make more halfway decent happy stuff,
yeah.
We're looking for it.
That said, we are planning on having a couple palate cleansers. Oscars once the Oscars are through.
Absolutely. Well, I think Project Hail Mary, which is our next film after No Other Choice, is going to be a little more mainstream and palatable, but also a solid film. Trying to get this film, Idiotka, real small studio, and they're not releasing it very far right now, but working on that. But anyway, back to the Oscars. Kate, did you have a favorite of the the bunch?
Yeah, do you want to list all the? I don't know.
Yeah, I have a list. Yeah. All right. Best Picture is Begonia, F1, Frankenstein, Hamnet, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, The Secret Agent, Sentimental Value, Sinners, and Train Dreams. And my two favorites are Sinners and Begonia.
And I would have to go Sinners and Hamnet. I enjoyed Begonia. I like Yorgos Lanthimos's work. This one was maybe not darker, but more cynical than I wanted at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. Hamnet at least gives us something a little bit upbeat at the end after breaking our hearts for 2 hours. and you know, I also really enjoyed Sentimental Value, but it is a little bit more of a thought film, mm-hmm. And less of a mass appeal film than, mm-hmm. you know, the folks who came to it enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But Hamnet, you know, we ran for 2 weeks, and it really made an impact on a lot of folks. And that's a good sign to me. Mm-hmm.
And there was one other you mentioned that didn't make the list, The Life of Chuck, which I really loved.
Yeah.
A lot of people liked.
I know Kate wasn't as big a fan of it.
No, it's a wonderful movie.
Doesn't think it's a Best Picture quality film,
but it seems like maybe more qualified than F1.
I would agree with that.
I would, yeah. You know, it was, I didn't know of anyone who saw it who didn't enjoy it. It's got several local connections in cinematography and in the actress who danced with Chuck for bit there has some local connections here. I think that's always nice. We like it when we see our folks doing well. And just an interesting, thought-provoking movie. I actually found myself thinking more about it recently with Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die. Had some of the same themes it was trying to tackle, if perhaps a little less subtly.
I disagree. Not that a subtle part. I think they're actually about wildly different things.
Mm, yeah.
You know, Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die is a dystopian future, and then Life of Chuck is someone's life passing away.
But the first half of Life of Chuck is a dystopian future as people are watching society break down. And I acknowledge that it turns out to be in his head. Mm-hmm. But I actually think a lot of folks resonated with that section on a societal level. And and so watching some of the same tropes show up, maybe not the same themes, but the same tropes, one coming to it turning out to be a very personal story and the other turning into a wacky hijinks, everything everywhere all at once vibe. Mm-hmm. Very different takes. Similarly, I felt, you know, I made a point of bringing Running Man because I'm an Edgar Wright fan. It did not do well at the box office either here or generally. A lot of the same, I would say, themes as One Battle After Another, tackling that sort of police state societal unrest situation. Did it not in an hour 40 or 2 hours 45 minutes like One Battle After Another did, but just, you know, it didn't resonate with folks in the same way. A lot of people are talking about that movie, you know, 4 months after it came out, as it heads into the nominations, mm-hmm. In the same way that I think Begonia and Marty Supreme also, the folks who went to see those movies really enjoyed them. Did it make a big cultural impact? That's harder to say because we're not all going to the same things anymore. You know, we're trying at the Crystal Theater to curate stuff for our audience and for a good variety of things that different people will enjoy. But you know, we don't have the monoculture anymore. When I'm thinking Best Picture, I'm thinking best all around. What resonated with the most people, what was impeccably put together, impeccably cast, impeccably scored, impeccably shot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so my pick is probably going to be Hamnet. I would not be at all upset to see Sinners take that.
Same. Mm-hmm. Sinners was amazing.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies where you're watching it and you're like, why is this good? It shouldn't be. you know, they're mixing so many different genres and it still just works. I think it's a nod to how well it's written, acted, and produced. And when I say produced, I mean
super produced. Well, I mean, it's almost reminiscent of some of those Baz Luhrmann movies terms of like the
yeah, the scene where all the musicians are sort of appearing and the it's out on streaming. Folks can see it. I hope you'll talk about it with us because it's you know, there are folks who did not enjoy that film. I acknowledge I was probably the exact target audience of that film as a kind of nerd who likes my genre bending Lovecraftian, you know, add a supernatural component to anything. But I've spoken to a handful of people who didn't like it. Not many.
Do you have any, you know, of the, in the more specific categories, is there anything you want to highlight that was, you know, I don't know, like screenwriting or cinematography or sound? You said sound for F1 was really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Kate's got the list of the specifics in front of them. We made a real point to bring all of the best actress and best actor nominees with our last weekend. Mm-hmm. It was really interesting to sort of close the gap with Blue Moon and If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, because they were both movies that we knew had really strong core performances, but were maybe not everybody's cup of tea, or maybe not even our cup of tea. And they were both really interesting watches. I was glad I got to see them and see them on the big screen. Mm-hmm. Very different films with very flawed protagonists. it's worth getting into those more, looking further down the ballot. If you're really passionate and what makes a movie work for you is a great performance, then anything out of those, plus maybe Anemone, which didn't get anything but had some great performances and some great cinematography. Mm-hmm. For me, cinematography can carry me through a movie that I'm otherwise very lukewarm on. Mm-hmm. A great score can carry me through a movie I'm otherwise lukewarm on. Mm-hmm. So look at those things. As you're deciding, you know, with your limited time and many screens calling for your attention, we'll try to let you know what's coming and what it is about it that made us choose to bring it. And I think the Oscars, unfortunately, well after they've mostly shown in theaters, but the Oscars are a great chance for these conversations about what do you care about in a movie? And, you know, we're always looking to hear that from folks.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's really cool. Let's see. What else do we want to talk about? We have international films too. Mm-hmm. Did you show any of those?
We were privileged.
Secret Agent. I saw that.
Yep. Secret Agent, which is also up for Best Picture.
And
The Voice of Hindrajab, which we showed thanks to a community partner who chose to bring it. So those have been really great for us. Opportunities to, you know, to show something that necessarily wouldn't be a four-night, you know, whole week thing when there's other considerations out there, but that can fill a theater for one night. That's been awesome, and we're working on a bunch more of stuff like that. I haven't seen all of the international films. We did show all the shorts over the course of 3 days. Real running of the gamut on that. The docs mostly pretty downer. Definitely the toughest, and I kind of regret doing them last. I wish we'd left on a lighter note. The live action, I sat through almost all of them. I don't always get to see everything we show because there's lots to be done, but really enjoyed some of those, including a weird little French film that I hear is getting a full-length version, and I'm not sure it needs the full-length version.
Are you guys doing anything with Shorts Fest? I know the Crystal in the Past has done stuff Shorts Fest in the past.
We did reach out to them. They reached back out to us, and this year is not going to work for them just because of their programming and some of their bandwidth. And so
they're definitely turning over quite a few
new
director and stuff.
So we recognize we love each other, and we definitely want to work together, and what form that takes is yet to be decided once we get through the spring.
I love the Shorts Fest. I mean,
me too.
I especially remember a while back going, I feel like they picked the best ones and made a little selection down at the Crystal, and some of the best, you know, movie going I've ever experienced.
Yeah, and one of the great things about Shorts Fest too are the filmmakers who come are just so excited
yeah.
that people are seeing their films, that an audience has seen it, mm-hmm. that they get to participate in this. And that kind of excitement is so genuine, yeah. and there's no kind of jaded movie maker behind them. Yeah. It's really wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually helped my friend make a movie that was in the Shorts Fest, and so we got to go and engage with all of these. I feel we were way out of our depth, I feel like, but... now he's making a really cool movie that's supposed to come out about the dams on the Klamath. And,
oh, cool.
And
hopefully
cool.
that'll come to the Crystal, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
tell him to give us a call.
We're yeah. real into local stuff. We really want to feature...
And you've done an amazing job. It's been amazing to watch the flowering of like what opening up the doors to a lot of more unusual ideas looks like.
Yeah. I mean, I think Bob and Kathy always were open to stuff, but they weren't looking out for it. They weren't going into the community and pitching it to folks. And also just doing it, doing unusual stuff has encouraged other people. They've seen, oh, you're doing,
yeah.
you're doing a dating event. Well, maybe I should do my comedy. And then, mm-hmm. oh, yeah. you're doing a whistling competition. Like the ideas just keep rolling from there. It's really,
you did a basketball game last night, right?
Yes,
we did. Yeah.
A watch party.
Roaring Fork High School reached out for a private event for the school to watch the girls play, in the grade eight.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not the outcome we were hoping for, in that game, but a nice thing to be part of nonetheless.
Yeah.
And you know, really excited, I think, about an expanded collaboration with Five Point coming up toward the end of April. 10 events over the course of the week,
wow.
starting before most of the folks get into town, very much targeting like, hey, get your some free events, some events that are part of passes, a real mix of opportunities to engage with Five Point and with the Crystal Theater, because you know we're the theater and mm-hmm. there's a film fest. Kind of seems like those things should go together.
Yeah, I mean, I love Bob and Kathy, and I just am so appreciative of the what they did, keeping that place so you know solid for so long. But I'm also just really gratified to see you guys. Yeah, just like it's a new era, and it should be a little different. And I mean,
that's one of the wonderful things about being a nonprofit, right? Instead of two people privately keeping this going because they're so great at it and were great at it for so long, now we might not be as good as them with the movies and being as most efficient, but we have the nonprofit and the community behind us, and it allows us to pull in people with other skills mm-hmm. to figure out ways to be more to the community, to do more.
And, you know, Bob and Kathy tried a lot of things back in 1985
mm-hmm.
That maybe didn't work or turned out to be a lot of work back then.
Yeah.
And they found a way to do it, and they found what worked for them. And so we just get another opportunity to find what works for us in 2026. And a lot of the lessons they learned and the solid foundations that they gave us are invaluable in us having the opportunity to reach out. If we were starting this from scratch, we wouldn't be able to do nearly. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So, yeah, absolutely a huge shout out to the Ezras.
And just a shout out to the community. I mean, I think there are great parallels between the Crystal and KDNK in terms of, both of us are proving this model of open the doors and let the community in and create a safe space for people, a platform, and be open to what might happen in that instance. You guys want to talk a little bit about what KDNK means to you and why you support us? You're both loyal members.
Yes. I mean, I just love you guys for so many reasons. When I've been living here almost 10 years, and KDNK was always on my not so short list of reasons I love Carbondale. You know, the fact that anyone could volunteer and be a DJ. And then you also have Azzy up in here. And every time I hear a little kid on the radio, it just warms my heart.
Yeah. I mean, I remember my dad taking me up into KDNK when it was still upstairs in the Dinkle building, and he was a DJ. And just the magic of a little space tucked in the corner of Carbondale, broadcasting out there to the world, bringing in again many of the same things that I love about the theater, the localifying, I know that's not a word, of the mass culture that we're all engaging with, the opportunity to take something that's you know, there's so much of it, and we're all trying to, and you know, there's so many ways to get it. But when you get it from Katie and Kay, when you get your music here, you're hearing from, you're engaging with someone who might be your next door neighbor or your dog walker or your trustee, and that's really not something everybody gets, and I'm incredibly appreciative of it.
Thank you so much, Will. And yeah, so we are in the middle of the membership drive, kdnk.org, 970-963-0139. Please give us a call or go online and support our membership drive. We've got a big goal this year, and we have a lot of people in the studio all of a sudden. This is getting to be a clown car in here.
Do you want to take over? I feel over? Like I'm caving.
You want to take over, Cody, or?
Not really take over, but I just wanted to introduce these young ladies that are with the Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program in the classroom with the amazing Adele, who also came up in the Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program. Big shout out. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Yay.
And they are a separate organization than Katie and Kay. We share the same building in the airwaves, and we are always looking for support from listeners just like you. Like right now during our spring membership drive, and Harper and Olive and this young lady that just walked in the building. What's your name?
Elle. I'm Elle.
They wanted to introduce a song, and I'm going to turn on... Kate, will you swing over your mic 4 there? We'll turn on mic 4 and 3 for... And, yeah. What's up?
Hi, I'm Olive.
And I'm Harper.
And I'm Elle.
We're in ASYAP's podcasting class. You're about to hear the song Golden from K-Pop Demon Hunters.
Yes. Support our favorite radio station, KDNK.
All right, thank you all so much. And apparently this is a big deal in the Oscar world as
Huge.
Well.
All around the world.
I was a ghost, I was alone. Given the throne, I didn't know how to believe. I was the queen that I meant to be.
I lived two lives, try to play both sides, but I couldn't find my own place. Caught a problem child, cause I got too wild. But now that's how I'm getting paid.
Could I see your stage?
These patterns all in the past now, and finally live like the girl they all see. No more hiding, I'll be shining like I'm born to be. Cause we are hunters, voices strong, and I know I believe we're going up, up, up.
Oh.
Oh, goodness. Well, I think playing that song on the KDNK airwaves, for me, for the first time, probably the only time ever, is worthy of your support right now. Go to kdnk.org and click on donate, or give us a call at 970-963-0139. We have friendly KDNK staffers awaiting to connect with you. And we are joined now, gratefully, with the one and only Alia Howell. So quite a force in our community.
Hi, Cody.
Welcome, Alia.
Thank you for having me. I'm good. Feel like I'm flying on seat of my pants today.
Me too, all the time.
But thank you for having me here.
And certainly you are no stranger to being on Express Yourself, because you do so many things to express yourself and help others in our community express themselves. And our mutual acquaintance, Alejandra Rico, sort of put us together and said, Alia wants to be on Express Yourself to talk about what's going on and what is going on these days.
Well, last night we had Immigrant Voices, sponsored, led by English in Action's initiative to empower immigrant voices in the Valley. And it was at Tekor, and big shout out and thanks to the whole Tekor team. But it was an amazing night of storytelling. These storytellers worked their tail off like no tribe of storytellers have ever done before. It was fabulous. We got to fly high, dig deep, and they left it all on the stage last night. And that happened. And now I'm moving into Women Who Lead, which will be on March 18th. It's a free event, and men are welcome too. But it's really celebrating Women's History Month, community connection, and panel discussion with three women from our community. Andrea Beard, who is the Chief Operating Officer for Jazz Aspen. Alyssa Schenk, who is the Mayor of Snowmass. Then Maria Elena Avila Bustos, who is a mentor matchmaker for English in Action. And she did a story one year too from Colombia. And this amazingly, divinely feminine event welcomes everyone who attends with flowers, with champagne, with food, with a goodie bag. And we get to hear the choices these women made as leaders. What is it different in being a woman leader in the performing arts field, in the mayoral government field, and then in helping young people find their voice, or not all young, but new people to our valley find their voice who are not English speakers. And there's a Q&A section at the end for advice. What were your difficulties? So that's next Wednesday, March 18th, 6 o'clock.
Next Wednesday, March 18th, 6 o'clock.
At the Collective in Snowmass.
Okay.
And it's free.
I have not been to the Collective yet in Snowmass, and in the village.
The new village.
It's right next to the Limelight Hotel.
Okay. Well, I know it's been around for a bit. And
yes,
a lot
has.
Of great events happen there. And
Next.
So I just heard from one of our community members and DJs that's going to be on tonight at 7 o'clock, Professor Yaya, Adrian Fielder. He said he was just mind blown by the event last night with the immigrants.
Oh, thank you, Professor Yaya.
Yeah, he shared with me some of the highlights, but he just said, you know, it's as good as ever. And I'm wondering, how long have you been putting that on?
15 years. Yeah, up and down the valley. My heart is huge. Having the treat of holding stories, listening to them, the highs and the lows of people in our valleys, stories.
Well, I think that's that is
Alejandra
amazing.
Hasn't done a story yet.
And she should.
not with you, but with Walter Gallagher when he started them.
Yeah.
Yes, he interviewed me. And it was on the paper. It was 2010 when he started. And then I think there are snippets of it here at the station, and they play it every once in a while. But yeah, I love to do it with you.
Yeah, oh, fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, good. For sure. Thank
July
you for being here.
And September of this year.
September would be better.
Yeah.
Summer is quite busy.
And truly, anyone listening who wants to share their story, there are two open call events in the summer that the collective sponsors. So you get me for free. You usually get fed and photographed. Anyone who's interested, please reach out to Cody at KDNK, and he'll just put you in contact with me.
I can help. So welcome, Alejandra Rico. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you. I'm glad to be here. I made it. And it's good to be hearing on the radio inclusivity for the youngsters. That like that K-pop Demon Hunters song that we just heard. Libertad was with a big smile coming over here. I wish I would have taken a picture. And she said that has never happened before. KDNK airing this song. And so,
well,
thank you,
all
KDNK.
Of you youngsters, pull out your credit cards and go to kdnk.org right now. No.
And Alia, we were meant to be doing this on a Friday evening, and I'm glad that we're doing this on a Friday, more of a prime time.
I'm happy to be here.
Yes.
And just to, really, KDNK, big, huge shout out, because you have supported me sharing to our community the events that I have the privilege of producing, either my own artwork or storytelling or poetry on behalf of our community. And now being a moderator for Women Who Lead, I get to ask questions, which I do in the storytelling events, but I get to ask them spontaneously in public.
Mm. Oh, Alia. And you also curate DJs.
I do.
Can you tell us about it?
Yes. COVID happened. We weren't dancing. We weren't getting together. And I love to dance. And so we started doing ecstatic dance up at 13 Moons. And it has continued ever since then, once a month. And I'm fortunate enough to have Alejandra DJ and many creative ears in our community come and DJ as I loosely lead a structure for the event. The next event is on April 5th, Sunday, at the RVR Barn at 5 p.m. And you are all welcome. Everyone's in a body, so it can move or not move and lay down. There are no steps to follow. And truly, the mindful, heartfelt, sacred selection that our DJs, thank you, Alejandra, put time in to select the playlist creates an extraordinary arc and journey for our dancers.
I would say that it's a community treasure now. It is, and it is now a ritual for many that just do it every month. And it's not only DJ set, but it's also live music, usually with drummers, and that is my favorite part, when drummers in our community come and show up and just really make that room being vibrant and all of us feeling the rhythms and like a tribe, pretty much. And now that we're doing an RVR barn, Mama Sopris is right there, and it's beyond amazing to do that. So, yeah, April 5th, who's going to be the DJ?
Gabriela Mejia.
Yeah, Gabriela Mejia.
Mejia.
Yes.
My British pronunciation. And these are sort of coinciding with the full moon?
Good question, Cody Lee.
Mostly they're on the full moon. Like, I'm away in May, so I get back for the new moon.
Oh,
so it'll be on the new moon in May.
Mm,
and I'm curious, Alejandra. How do you design the arc of your set? How do you select the pieces?
I liked following the five rhythms of Gabriela Roth. I like starting with stillness. How it ends is in its stillness, but then it comes into the feminine rhythm, the flow rhythm, and then it goes to staccato, which is the masculine, and then it goes into chaos, chaotic music that it's not chaotic, it just makes us like really move and really shake. Usually I do like tribal stuff. And then after that, it is lyrical, beauty, heart opener, and back to stillness. So it's that's my usual how I do it, how I like to do it, because I've been moved in that way as I never had before, dancing, and I like that formula. I really do, and I also choose things that I would love to dance to, not just anything. So if I don't love it, it's not in the playlist. I really need to love it for moving myself. So that's how I do it.
Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. No. You're welcome. What else do we have?
Well, I just want you to reiterate to all the listeners of the events that are coming up soon. Alia has a women's event coming up next Wednesday. We just talked about the rave reviews of the Immigrant Stories last night at Taka. And if we can just, you know, touch base on that and tell people where to go to find out more. And then just to profess your love about KDNK Community Radio and all that it is for you two beautiful ladies and our community.
So our list... Here we go. Women Who Lead, Wednesday, March 18th, free, 6 to 8 p.m. in the Collective Hall, featuring Andrea Beard, Alyssa Schenk, Maria Elena Avila Bustos, moderated by me. Then, April 5th, at the River Valley Ranch Barn, Gabrielle Mejia will be our DJ for Ecstatic Dance, 5 till 7 p.m. Then, on May 23rd, Women's Voices, which is a storytelling event up at the Wheeler Opera House in the Vault, and that are five female storytellers from our valley. And I could go on. June, Aspen Fringe Festival, I'm doing Disappeared.
And what is that?
Disappeared is, I'll be doing at the Fringe Festival a small section of a new work of mine, which is actually going to be featured at the Wheeler on November 18th, the whole work. But Disappeared is not that everything isn't disappearing and appearing in this material world, but it's pay attention to what's disappearing. Do you value it? Why do you value it? And if you value it, do you want to try and extend its existence for future generations to come? So this is a piece that is speaking about Disappeared.
Wow. The French festival. And another thing I wanted to ask, where is the Collective Hall?
The Collective Hall is in Snowmass, and it's right next to the Limelight Hotel in the Base Village.
Okay, thank you. And Cody, do you want us to tell you?
Profess your love for KDNK.
Oh my God, love, 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 love KDNK. Listen to it all the day.
Why?
Because I get the news when I'm driving to teach yoga, so I get NPR Public Radio. I am one of my favorite DJs is Luke. He plays some of these stretched out artists that I knew back in the day in New York and Philadelphia. And I'm just like, wow, big ears, Luke. But just the spirit of KD&K and how it offers this opportunity for children on up to learn how to be DJs, to be a voice for the community. Just huge gratitude. Please get your credit cards out, call. Please support our local radio station because they're all love here.
Spring membership drive, KD&K.org. Go there. What about you, Ale?
Well, KD&K has been a second home to me since 2008 when I first became a DJ, and then closely home because of you, Cody Lee, and I happen to be in the little music room where you used to be assistant director the other night, and I saw in the marco de la puerta, how do you call this? In Spanish, in English, the door
frame, jam.
Frame, the door frame. I saw a little mark of with the, our daughter Libertad's name, like this size, when she was two years old or something, like crazy young, and that just warmed my heart so much because that is here in this building. And then I looked up, and it was Avi, our other daughter. And so KD&K is close to my heart in that way, that our daughters got to grow up here. They got to be around this environment from a very early age. And may that be part of their souls and their journey in life, because this is a treasure and it's a rare gem in our world. And we love it. We appreciate it. We cherish it. And we support it as much as we can. And we invite you, who is listening right now, to do the same.
Wow. With that story, literally a family radio station.
A family radio station, yes.
And this morning we got to see DJ Canilo with her baby James. Yeah. And her mama Flash was one of the first DJs, like back to the 1980s. And yeah, it truly is. Thank you for Alia Howell and Alejandra Rico for being here this afternoon. And thank you for all of you that are listening and supporting KD&K Community Radio and expressing yourselves. And we're going to get on into a little bit of music before an interview we're going to hear with Straygrass. So.
Thank you, KD&K.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cody.
Thank you. Stay tuned. Go to kdnk.org, click on donate, or give us a call at 970-963-0139.
Very fun.
Ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe, if you don't know by now. Ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe, doesn't matter anyhow. When your rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window, girl, and I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm traveling on. Don't think twice, it's all right. Ain't no use in turning on your light now, the light I've never known. Ain't no use in turning on your light now, I'm on the dark side of the road. Still I wish there was something you could do, say, to try to make me stop and change my mind and stay. We never done talking anyway.
Gary Tullio from Straygrass, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, it's another really warm, sunny spring day here in Carbondale.
Yeah, oddly warm, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. And your band, Straygrass, you are based out of Grand Junction?
That's correct, yes, based out of Grand Junction.
Well, we are excited about you coming to the Ute Theater in Rifle, the historic Ute Theater, and happy to be working with you guys to, you know, get some more people to come out to the show. And I don't think I've seen Straygrass before. And can you tell the listeners about the band and how you guys came together and how long you've been playing?
Yeah. Well, Straygrass, our philosophy is to play good music, and we all happen to play bluegrass instruments. That's kind of the premise of Straygrass. We tend to stray away from traditional bluegrass, even though we love traditional bluegrass. We like to keep it kind of mixed up. And we've been together for 22 years now.
Wow.
Started out in Grand Junction, been there the whole time, but we travel kind of mostly a tri-state area. Don't go too far. We all got day jobs. We do it for the love of music more than for the monetary side of it. And we're excited to be playing at the Ute Theater.
Yeah, I actually have yet to go to the Ute Theater, so hopefully I can make it out to this show. It's quite a lineup with you and Stillhouse String Band and Clayton Yazel Trio.
I think it's Yazel. Great guy, and he plays in a band called Violet Pine, and they're also based out of Grand Junction.
Well, big shout out to Bruce, who kind of sought us out at KDNK talking about this bluegrass showcase that's on Friday, March 20th. It looks like the show or the doors open at 7:30 p.m. and goes pretty late, and quite a lineup of local bluegrass string picking talent. Gary, what instrument do you play?
I play mandolin and do most of the singing in Straygrass. And speaking of the lineup, I think it's going to be a fun time. I think the Clayton Trio is going to start first, and then Straygrass is going to go on next. Then we'll have Stillhouse String Band go on, and then we're all going to do a big jam at the end. So it should be pretty fun.
Oh, sweet. And you guys are a quartet, right?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us about the other players, who they are and what they play?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got myself and on the mandolin and most of the vocals. We've got David Rowley. He plays stand-up bass and backup vocals. We've got Guy Stevens on flat picking guitar, and he also sings. And then we have Mr. Byron Walcher, and Byron plays banjo and dobro.
Cool.
Which is in between the two, yeah.
And Gary, you said you guys have been around for 22 years. How did you meet?
Well, I met, the original band was with Guy Stevens and a guy named Pete Langford, and they played, back in the day, they played in a band called JT and the Big Dogs. And at the time, I was just doing solo work. I had played in several bands before that, but I was just kind of on my own right at that point in time. And that was in like the early 2000s, I want to say like 2003. JT and the Big Dogs had a CD release party at a bar called Boomers in Grand Junction. And they asked me to do a solo show to open up the CD party, and then they were going to play and, you know, have their CD release party. Well, shortly after that, we were at a John Hiatt concert at the Avalon, and at two different times, a guy had come up and asked me, like I said, they played in JT and the Big Dogs, if I wanted to do a an acoustic project. And I said, sure, man, hit me up and we'll see what happens. And then later on the same night, I ran into the bass player from JT and the Big Dogs, and he did the same thing, asked me if I was interested in playing an acoustic project. And we formed Straygrass. We started out, we were going to be the Stray Dogs, because it was JT and the Big Dogs. And somebody had already had that name. So we just happened to morph right on into Straygrass, and we've kept that name ever since.
Right on. And Gary, what can the listeners expect for your style of bluegrass music?
We're kind of a bluegrass, newgrass, kind of Americana feel. Like I said, we like to just play good songs. So we go anywhere from maybe a John Hiatt tune to Rocket Man from, oh gosh, why am I doing that?
From Elton John.
Elton John, yeah. So Elton John kind of plays that slower version of Rocket Man, and we got her kind of souped up on bluegrass.
Nice.
And And so it's super fun. We do some Paul Simon stuff. We do Grateful Dead stuff. And then traditional bluegrass, we have some original music, which I kind of think fits a little more into the Americana slot. Yeah, it's a variety. And the other guys playing, too, that, you know, with Stillhouse and them, they all play such, they're all such good pickers. And it's going to be a fun night.
Yeah, for sure. And have you ever played with Stillhouse before?
We have, actually. We did one at, what's that theater there in Delta, the Egyptian. We played there about a year ago, and it was Stillhouse and Straygrass mashup. And we've just been good friends with those guys for a long time.
Cool. And have you played the Ute Theater before?
Straygrass did play the Ute Theater, I want to say, 2 years ago. We just kind of did our own show, and it was a great time. And I think that's when Bruce had seen us play, was there, and then he wanted to put together this bluegrass showcase. And so we got some more people involved, and he asked me to kind of help out. So I kind of put some feelers out, and we gathered what I think is going to be a great night of music.
Yeah. We really want to get some of the people up here in Carbondale to not be shy about going down I-70 to go to the historic Ute Theater and Rifle, and with a, you know, solid lineup of string pickers from our area.
Well, yeah, we just played Steve's Guitars there about, I'm going to say, 3 weeks ago, the end of February there. And we had a great turnout, and we really enjoyed playing in the Carbondale area. So there is a new streaming video on YouTube right now from Steve's Guitars of Straygrass, if you wanted to try to get a little taste of what we do. And yeah, like I say, we've played in the area, and we sure love playing up there. So maybe we can drag a few of them down there.
And I see that you're coming to Redstone in the summer for their Magical Moments concert series in early June. So
yeah,
that's a really great venue to get out in the early summer. You're probably one of the first acts, I'm assuming.
Oh yeah, I'm not too sure as far as what the rest of the lineup was, but they contacted us, and we were super excited to be able to get to be a part of that concert series there as well.
Well, we look forward to you coming to the Ute Theater and Rifle, juicing up some bluegrass versions of cover songs and doing your original stuff, and also with Stillhouse String Band. That was Gary Tullio from Straygrass. Catch them at the Ute Theater next Friday. And next up, we'll hear from Stillhouse, from Clinton, from Stillhouse. Stay tuned.
I said, flow, river, flow. Take me to the place you go and flow, river, flow into the sea. Yes, I said, go, river, go. Take my heart like you took my soul. Go, river, take my soul from me.
All right, we're speaking with Clinton Norp of Stillhouse String Band. How's it going today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. And we're just talking about you guys playing at the Ute Theater and Rifle on March 20th. We actually just talked to Gary Tullio from Straygrass, and I'm looking forward to all of you getting together.
Yeah, should be awesome.
Yeah, so tell us about Stillhouse String Band, where you're based out of, and how you met each other.
Stillhouse String Band was formed a little over 10 years ago with a group of musicians that started playing every Thursday at the Peach Street Distillery in Palisade, Colorado. And we played for free, well, for drinks, technically. And we played there every Thursday and then donated any tips to a given nonprofit. And out of that, we kind of became known as like the house band for the Peace Street Distillery. And that eventually we needed a name, so we named ourselves the Still House String Band. And we've been playing bluegrass and Americana and original tunes and, over 10 years now. Members have changed. And Well, we have always had a guitar, a bass, a banjo, and a mandolin, and a dobro was added about maybe a year or two after we formed, and has been with us ever since. And in 2024, we were able to win the Telluride Bluegrass Band Competition.
Amazing.
And yeah, it was super great. And then in 2025, we played the main stage on Saturday of the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, and it was an hour-long set that seemed like it was about 10 seconds long because it was such an incredible experience to be up there. I went down and camped out the entire week leading up to the festival and just had an amazing time. I personally have been going to that festival since 2003, and our guitar player had been going there since before he could remember because his parents used to bring him back in the 90s and early 2000s. We are pickers at heart, just bluegrass jammers, and that's why it works great to team up with, you know, a band like Straygrass, which we've played with a whole bunch before, both in on stage and off stage, and we're able to just kind of mesh together because we're used to just playing around a campfire or playing in a campground together. We also are the host band for the Palisade Bluegrass Bash, which is in April in Palisade, and it was a free festival for a long time, and now I think they're charging like $20 or $30 for like 30 bands that play over the course of 4 days. And this year we're playing up at Talbot's. And so, yeah, it's the 16th of April, and the Bluegrass Bash in Palisade incorporates kind of all of the venues that Palisade has to offer as far as like existing permanent venues, because the Palisade Bluegrass Roots, they set up a temporary stage in the park.
Yeah.
So for the Bash, we play at Talbot's on Thursday. There's bands at the Palisade Brewery, at the Peach Street Distillery, at the Livery late night, and at the Poorhouse stage, which is a pizza place. It used to be called DeRocco. They have music there as well. And so it's kind of all of those venues. You can walk or bike to most of them, and they are all great to go to. It's a great festival. We're happy to be a part of it every year.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Yeah, I like that being spread out in different venues.
Yeah, for sure. And we've played up in, we've played Steve's Guitars, I think November of 24, up in Carbondale. We played the Glenwood Summer Concert Series last summer. We played the Top of Aspen many times.
And have you played the Ute Theater and Rifle before?
Never have. The Still Hustling Band has never played the Ute Theater. I have seen some amazing acts there. I've seen the Little Smokies and Sam Bush, and we've seen the Sam Grisman Project was amazing, and we're super stoked to be able to finally get on that stage and like play that venue because it's great.
Yes, that's awesome to hear. So you guys, Stillhouse String Band, you're a 5-piece?
Correct.
And you play banjo and sing, Clinton?
Yes, I play banjo and sing both lead and harmony, and I write music as well.
Great. And can you tell us about the other players?
Absolutely. We have Kyle Lockhart on the mandolin and Kyle Elliott on the resophonic guitar, which is called a dobro, and then Everett Merritt on the guitar, and he sings and sings harmonies and also writes tunes that we play. And then we have a bass player named Evan, and he lives in Palisade, and he's going to play with us at the Ute Theater coming up.
Cool. And so you talked about the Palisade Bluegrass Bash that's coming up in mid-April. And any other dates that the listeners in our area should know about coming up soon?
Yeah, we're playing in Palisade at a event that they're calling Farm Fest. It's May 2nd. It's going to be in downtown Palisade, and it is a celebration of all of the, you know, farming and agriculture that is in Palisade to highlight all the great, you know, food that we offer there, and it's right at the beginning of growing season. And it's a new festival that's going to be, this is its first year to ever take place. And I know the Talbots are a big part of that. And so we are doing that on May 2nd. And we are playing the Palisade Bluegrass and Roots Festival in Riverbend Park on Friday, June 5th.
Well, we look forward to you showing up at the Ute Theater and Rifle on March 20th on Friday with Straygrass and Clayton Yatesel Trio.
Yeah.
And it ought to be a great showcase.
Yeah, that should be awesome. We will be playing original tunes and bluegrass, and we will probably all get together at the end. And I can also tell you that I think the trio that's opening is actually a mix of a member from Straygrass and a member from our band are going to be in that trio. So it's kind of like a prelude.
Thank you so much, Clinton, from Stillhouse String Band. We got to get out of here and